Welcome to the Crossroads of Liberty.
All right, so today we have our normal group of hosts. I'm Joe. We have Johnny, James, Sean, and we also have a special guest, Nero Discord from Instagram.
Nero's.
Oh, Nero's Discord.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir.
What's up? I'm Nero. Yeah.
He's some weird guy on the internet.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah. So, did anyone want to go over the first topic of why don't you tell us about your page? I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, so I guess I've had this page since February 2019, and I sort of like I originally started it just like I started it with like a completely different intent as like what it sort of turned out to be. If you follow Durango Caliente, or as it used to be, like the Driptonator, where he used to write out like different stuff about politics and history and everything like that, I sort of wanted it to be something more like that, also with memes. But I realized quickly that that's lame and no one wants to see that, especially like if you have zero fucking followers. So I just like let it ride. And plus like it would have to do with like politics, and like I'm bipolar, so I make like bipolar memes every once in a while. And yeah, so that's kind of just how the page came to be. Also, one thing that's funny is like Discord isn't a reference to like a Discord server. When I actually made it, I had no idea what a Discord server is.
So like, I mean, what's the reference exactly?
So Nero is, Nero means black in Italian. And black's my favorite color, and I'm half Italian.
Right.
So Discord has a lot more of a like explanation to it. So, so Discord, it goes essentially from the word like chaos and whatnot, and the Greek goddess so like in Greek mythology, there's chaos, and then like there's sort of the minor, like smaller god, goddess of chaos, strife, whatnot, name Eris, or I can't remember the name right now, but it's like Eris or something like that. But her Latin name, her Roman name, was Discordia, and so I changed that to Discord. And the whole like so it's kind of like Nero's inner chaos and stuff, something like that. Is okay. What it's supposed to be, but it's like Nero's Discord just sounded better.
I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pretty good name.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I sort of cringe at it, like, to be perfectly honest, but it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, like, I've had, you know, Instagram friends tell me it's like, it sounds cool, but like, I think it's like, you know, a little bit too serious or anything like that. But it's like one of the good things with it is that it's not it's just like me, you know, it's my thoughts, my ideas. It's like I'm not bound to really like anything with it, because one thing I realized, so one of my ID buds, he's the like, give him a I'll give him a shout out and go follow him, the L Canada DeLorean, and his original account was the Libertarian Canuck, but he got zucked, and and like there were a couple other Politigram accounts that were started around the same time I was, who like I still have like mutuals like to this day, and their accounts just blew up like way past mine. And what I realized is like with a lot of those political accounts and whatnot, that if you put like whatever ideology, whatnot, like in your name, Or like in your bio, like it's the automatic like click to follow and whatnot. I decided not to do that because like I didn't really want to shill out for followers. Like if I'm going to get followers and whatnot, like get that dopamine release. It's not going to be for some like quick gimmick. It's going to be because I'm actually creating something and contributing something and putting it out there. You know, it's the whole, like I still have in my bio, satirical and dramatized thoughts cast out into the digital void. So that's like the way I view it as. You know, it's like it can be as much as like a deep thought or as little as just like a like sort of a shit like meme and whatnot. It's kind of like how I have like it's my last post like that I just posted was in like insulting like Tommy Lahren, but then like you look like I mean the past couple weeks it's like I had the Boog Boys Only Want One Thing video. That was my like 1,000 follower.
Yeah, that was great.
Video. Thanks great guys.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I had planned out for I had that planned out when I hit like 900. That was sometime in July and I was really excited to do that. I hit 1,000 followers a lot quicker than I thought I would. And then also like the Boogaloo Days, the Happy Days parody, and then the Degrees of Separation, the one that starts out with Are You Angry? That one actually
that was good.
Thank you. So like that one actually like I woke up, so I posted that last Saturday. On that Friday, like I didn't have anything to do that day, and when I woke up, like for some reason, like I had like a weird dream, but like I woke up just like sad, like I just woke up like depressed, and like I deal with a lot of depression like already with the bipolar, but I mean that's whatever. But then like I just sort of like got angry randomly, and I decided to like take that and like channel it into something creative and whatnot, and that was just. But like that was just a video like that just popped into my head and whatnot. And I just sat down and just made it happen.
Makes sense, bro. Makes sense.
I mean, it just spontaneous creations, effective things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes like the stuff I make is random. Sometimes like it's like a lot more planned out. Like if we're talking about the page, I guess like no, my most popular one was the Tucker Carlson one. The force is more effective than voting. Mm-hmm. Like that one got like reposted like everywhere too, and it's kind of funny because so like those I call them Boog Wave, those like skull face memes with It's either spoiler by Hyper or it's a BFG division from the
Doom 2016.
Yeah, from the Doom game. Sorry, I had to burp. FYI, guys, I'm drinking some White Claws.
That's okay.
Yeah. I got my second like beer there. So
ain't no laws in the claws, bro. Yeah, but that so like before that I had a bunch of those like Boog Wave like Skullface videos out, and it ended up like I guess like sort of like of my followers and whatnot, I sort of got known for that. Like because a bunch of people were like tagging me in different stuff thinking that it was me and whatnot when it's like I didn't make those. And when Tucker did that segment, like I ended up waiting like a day because I saw like Abe Columbia did one, and like Abe Columbia, like I guess like he's a good account, like he's like very popular, but that was like a really shit BFG division edit. So I decided to like go in and like go all out, balls to the wall, and make it So, yeah.
Yeah, I always, I have a, like a, this isn't really a content advertisement because there's like 20 people in it, but I have like a private story on my Snapchat that I like post memes and that kind of shit on. And I've put most of your, like skull videos like that. Like I know I put the Tucker one at least once.
Didn't you,
huh?
Repeat that.
Then was the Steven Crowder one talking about like the second revolution or civil war or something? Was that you as well?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put that one up for sure.
I used to watermark all my memes. Like I did that for a while, but then I just sort of like, I guess I sort of like had this sort of like theory, like sort of like, you know, thinking like in a marketing, like advertising sort of mindset that if like people are like, I think people are less likely to like or share a meme that has a watermark on it, because it's not as shareable and whatnot. It's like, I think there's some like aversion to it. Like before the podcast, we're talking about those like those little things that like edit that can make all the difference. Those, yeah. Like where people might not consciously pick up on it, but they'll subconsciously do it, and that can affect their opinions on like something like as I said before the podcast, like could take like a 7 out of 10 with that one change turns it into a 5 out of 10, and yeah. It's like the like, because like this was around the time when I started, like I downloaded so the photo, I don't like, except for my like, I didn't, so I'm actually like a editor, like I work in like film, so like I know how to like edit, but I just make, because like it, most of my stuff is just 1 minute videos and whatnot. I didn't pull out like my legitimate like equipment, like my I use Final Cut Pro on my computer. I didn't pull that out until I did the Patriot video edit, the Patriot Blinding Lights that I posted on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I think it posted the day before. Thanks.
That's one of my favorite, one of my favorite films. So I was like, and obviously one of the greatest scenes in that film. So
it is just so, so this is a like a little side tangent, but I actually realized this the other day. So I was in a conversation in this one group chat where people are tired of others saying, you know, like wait till the people who just want to be left alone get involved. And Because like no matter what side that happens, like I hope it happens for like our side, like the side of good and whatnot, because like the looming threat of the left right now, like, you know, you got to sort of like see past like the state versus the people a little bit, like and whatnot, not saying like that's not an issue, but it's like the left versus the right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the left is the most statist right now. Yeah, Trump's not that small government and whatnot. But compared to like what Kamala and Joe Biden would bring in, like Joe Biden just yesterday, he pretty much promised that there would be an immediate 3-month mask mandate. Like that's like very incredible. Like let's say he's just saying that for campaign stuff, or let's be real, he's told to say that by someone in a senile state. Like that 3-month mask mandate, like even if you're walking outside alone, that would start in January of 2021. Like we're in fucking August. Like how much time is this COVID stuff supposed to be? And obviously we all know it's like, it's a hoax. Like, of course, like the virus is real and whatnot, but it's like the extent and whatnot that it is, like that they're treating it, it's just unscientific, it's stupid, it's blatant, like a sleight of hand for tyranny, for them to take away our rights and whatnot. Like Tucker Carlson said one of these past few nights, like I don't watch him like every night, but just see his clips. He said, he like straight up said like that, like we have no rights anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, he's slowly, I'm not going to say he's a libertarian by any stretch of the word, but he has slid more toward the extremist side as he's gone on. He basically said taxation without protection is theft.
Like, I know, it was so close.
It was so close.
So close. Like,
but he is, oh God, I almost just fell on my beer. That I have the can on the floor and I was moving on my bed and I almost fell off and fell on the can.
Right.
But he's
party fell.
Yeah, he has certainly started to slide towards that that direction for sure. And yeah. I don't mind it.
So I wouldn't say he's libertarian, because
no,
like
he's not.
And whatnot, or like he's a paleocon, like he's not a neocon, or at least he's not a neocon anymore.
Yeah,
like
he's become a lot more anti-war than he used to, which is good.
Dude, yeah. And, like there he was a
pretty pro-war, but he's pulling out.
I don't know the libertarian, but he's like one of the libertarians who's been on like CNN and stuff. But Nick Fuentes was on his show,
Dave Smith.
And. Yeah, it's that video where it's like, all right, I'm going to give you, was it like 3 or 4 points, agree or disagree? It was like end the American Empire, which like it was like agree, like I can't remember the specifics of the other two, but it was like basic core libertarian points that like Nick Fuentes, the head of the Paleocon American First movement, all agreed upon. Like very like core pillars and whatnot, and like core things that we need to get done. Like, so it's like there's not much difference between the paleocons and yes, the Libertarian Party. I really don't like Jo Jorgensen like at all. I think she will cave. She will cave on every single social issue. She will flood the fucking borders, like with a. Like just open them up. Like she even said that she's like, I'm very pro wall because of like all the sex trafficking and everything like that. And she said that she will even go as far as tearing down the wall that Trump already built.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't know how y'all think about Jo Jorgensen. Anyway, let's get back to what I was saying about the Patriot. So like, those the people I was talking with were complaining. It's like, why aren't they involved now? Why aren't they involved now? And me, like, being a pragmatist, is like, look, like, that's coming and whatnot. And it's like, the reason why people like us care about politics is really, like, so other people don't have to. Because they're, like, should they? Yes. Are they? Like, time will tell. Hopefully they wake up. I don't know. But they're the people who are not going to be the leaders or anything like that. So like I was just like be optimistic, and then I realized that the initial plot of the Patriot, like what the Patriot is about, following Mel Gibson, Benjamin, I can't remember his last name's character, it's about like what happens when, like, his personal journey is about what happened in the Revolutionary War when the people who didn't want to get involved got involved. And that is shown in the Tomahawk Massacre scene.
Yeah.
Because in a couple scenes before that, he was like, no, I don't want to go to war. Like, he's all against it, and he's called, like, a traitor. Or he's called not a traitor, like, a pussy and whatnot. But then it's like the war came to his doorstep, and so he didn't have a choice. And so what did he do? Like, he massacred, he fucking just straight up destroyed everyone. Like, he killed... Yeah. I gotta wonder what the body count in that one video is.
12, at least.
Yeah, I would say it's more than that. Like, is... Well, I mean, like, if you count, like... If you count the ones that his son's killed.
I mean, does anyone want to, like, rewatch the scene right now?
No. But it was a lot. And what...
Well, I've actually never seen that movie.
What? Dude, you're
I'm not American, so don't even chat.
I am American. I watched it.
Dude, you fucking love it. It's just, like, Americans and also, like, it's American.
I know some of the
French
scenes.
Dude,
I just haven't
who are just it. Going around killing British. What would Irishman not love in that?
Oh no! Oh,
he wouldn't like the French part.
It's an owl, homie.
Well, yeah, no, it's French. It's one French dude.
One French.
It's a bunch of Americans and one French dude.
I'm mostly French.
Killing Brits though. Killing Brits. Johnny, I thought that was like an Irish. The Irish past.
I'm mostly French, so you better step up, John.
I will step up, Frogleg.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry for you.
No, it kind of does parallel the Irish Revolutionary Movement, because, like, at the start, like, especially in 1916, like, they were such a fringe extremist group. And, like, most people, like, especially during the East Rising, like, the Dublin public were, like, so against the rebels. But then it was when they started getting executed by the British, like, it kind of pushed the Irish public towards, like, going against the British. That kind of parallels that kind of, like, the extremism that you get.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just don't push the centrists, because I mean, not necessarily the centrists, but like the apolitical. Because the
I mean, like, I'd call myself an ascended centrist, like whatnot. Like, I mean, you can go look at my what
I can live with that, but normal centrists are groups.
Well, see, that's the thing. Normies are normies. Like, if they're politically gross. Unaware, they're politically unaware.
Like, Democrats, I would take a Nazi or a communist over a Democrat or a Republican.
Well, that's the thing. So
they're so annoying. I hate them. They're so annoying.
What liberals have become, like the American turned liberal, like what I started to call, like I started to call them this a long time ago, is just feel good authoritarians.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. They want a bunch of like showmanship and whatnot. That and control other people so they can get what they like want, and they want to feel good about it. They want a virtue signal. They want to do all that sort of stuff.
Virtue signal hypocrites are the two things I hate.
I mean, I just want them to admit it. Like a communist be straight up like, I want to murder anyone that has money or owns anything. And then a Nazi is straight up like, I want to murder anyone like blonde hair and blue eyed and doesn't join my cult. Like they're very open about it. Whereas the Democrats and Republicans are like, oh, we just want to love everybody. We want to cut spending and then like spend six times.
No, they don't want to cut spending at all.
Well, like, the Republicans claim to be for small government, but they never have been even since Lincoln.
We need small government, and there's nothing wrong. I want immigrants to come over so long as they come legally.
What do you mean? Neither of them.
What?
Neither of them.
What are you saying?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble speaking again.
Gather your thoughts.
Yeah, it's not really a thought thing. It's a speech thing. But anyway.
Okay, sorry.
Neither of them have been a small government since the Democratic Republican Party, so.
Yeah. Everybody just likes
actually a Democrat government. Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's been a lot of parties in the
Democratic
Party. Oh, is that like Bernie Father?
Next level centrism. I'm a Democratic Republican.
Oh, bro. Anti centrism gang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Extremist gang.
That's pretty much me. I'm pretty much on the anti centrist gang.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd claim capitalism or market anarchism, but bitch about the term capitalism. Market anarchism works too, I guess. Fuck it, call me Black Flag. I don't care. I just want for voluntary associations and private ownership. That's all I care about. Self-ownership. Self-ownership and voluntary exchange. That's what I want. You got that? It sounds good.
I'm a bunch of centrists.
I would take any of the extremists over centrists.
On God.
Yeah, so if any of my, like, for my followers who are listening who are anarchists, I'm sorry for this, but I have taken the black pill on anarchism.
I got a question. I've seen many people use, I mean, I've seen this for everything. I've seen multiple different groups use black pill for different things, multiple different groups use red pill for different things. But what, so in your words, what is black pill? Because there's an Instagram account called Black Pilled, and it's just nothing but this guy complaining about black people. Okay, and then I've read black pill as like doomers, where you think everything's just going to go to shit. So like, what would you say is black? Like, what does it mean to you?
Okay, so let me go over like all the pills, because like the pills are
thank you.
Like, yeah, so
I'm dying to know.
So like you can't really go over one pill without going over the rest, because they all feed together. So there's two ways to so with the red pill and the blue pill metaphor. So there's the red pill and blue pill politics. And then there's the red pill and blue pill of dating. And the dating thing, I think, is where it might have started. And that has to do with, like, looking at male and female interactions from a more evolutionary, biological, evolutionary, psychological way. Where it's, like, the blue pill still... blue pill dude is going to sit there. It's like the simp, the soy boy who's going to sit there and just sort of wait for like that one girl to show up, and is like not going to sort of like not going to like improve themselves, just think everything's going to be happy, and then it's going to be like bummed when she ghosts them, all that sort of stuff, and it's going to get like the term like one-itis is going to get hung up on one girl like for like the rest of his life, or like, you know, it's the whole like he just puts that pussy on a pedestal and is unable to get it down. He's not looking at things realistically. And then the red pill is looking at things as how they actually are, like looking, like examining at what hypergamy is, understanding that girls have orbiters, like those blue pill dudes who just circle around her, and she flirts enough with them that she maintains their attention, but like won't do anything back, whether it be from a failsafe or just want that sort of male attention that boosts their ego or anything like that. Like the red pill people are like all about self-improvement, like, and self-improvement, etc. Like a lot of stoicism, and like it's kind of all about, it's not necessarily like all about getting laid, but it's just about looking at it like through the right lens, and also understanding how to get laid. then there's the black pill for that sort of like dating game and whatnot. The black pill would be just incels, like the Elliot Rodgers incels, who like you know those dudes who obsess over like their chin size, like essentially like the incel meme. It's like
those guys are funny.
I feel bad for them.
I feel bad for them, but I think they're. But I also think, like, I think the caricature. If I met one, I'd probably feel bad for them. But if I see the caricature in like a movie or something, I think it's a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. I mean, like overall, like I feel bad for them because there's like a bunch of things that they can do to like change it and whatnot. And also, they like similar to like the blue pill dudes. They are sitting there, and similar to like when I made fun of like Tommy Lauren, like tonight. Like in her, like the video I did a response to, is they're sitting there feeling like they're entitled to a woman's attention. They're entitled to getting laid, stuff like that. When it's like, no, you gotta actually like work on it. I'm not saying like work on the girl or anything. I'm talking about working on yourself. Like, if you work on yourself, like, the bitches will come. But a lot of them do probably deal with, like, severe autism, so... Yeah.
You're blue-pilled, it's White Girl Wednesday every day of the week.
Yeah. Okay, so now with, like, the... like the political pills. So the blue pill would be, I mean, you guys know, like, basic, like, red pill, blue pill, like, take the red pill. Like, a lot of it feeds into, like, Democrat versus, like, Republican, but it's a more complex than that because you have so many, like the blue pill conservatives are just all there. It's all about, like, like, looking at reality and not seeing it as actually is versus actually looking at the complex issues, the what things are being implicated, what things are affecting each other, and how that plays into it. And it very much so it goes into a certain conspiracy. Like, look up the Black Cube Saturn. Like, that's the ultimate red pill. I won't get into that now. And so, like, I think we all know, like, red pill base, all that sort of stuff. The black pill is that sort of doomer stuff. Now, it's like, you can take the black pill, like, in general, where it's like, oh, you see that society is going to collapse, it's inevitable, and so you're not going to do anything about it, but get guns and ammo and train and just wait for it to happen. And there's different levels.
That's where I'm at.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not there. Like,
this is hitting way too close to home for
like obviously I have a hope for, like, a stateless society, and I happen, but I don't think that we're gonna fix this current situation. I think this is gonna have to, like, crazy stuff's gonna have to happen to get there. So I'm just preparing for everything now to break down, because that's definitely going to happen, and there's no way to stop it. I don't think we can stop it anymore.
Here's the thing with, like, a stateless society and everything like that, you're not factoring in global politics. You're not factoring in the other nations, and especially the nations that want to see us fall. And I'm not just talking about China. I'm not just talking about Russia. I'm talking about the EU, the UN, all that sort of stuff. Like, there's a bunch of people rooting for us to lose. Like, I say that also, like, with one of my, like, best friends in college. He's in Army Intelligence, and, like we're talking about the Boog and whatnot. And he's like, I'll say, like, he's very much so blue pilled. Like, he's going to vote for Biden, or at least last time I checked. Yeah, I'm not sure what he thinks now. Oh, shameless plug. I'm going to when I launch my merch store, there's going to be a Kamala is a cop shirt. So I'm not sure.
I'm running low on funds, but I may have to cop one of those shirts.
I'm also the Alex Jones, I want you to Boogaloo, fuck the government, where it's him with, like, the Uncle Sam pose. That's going to be coming out as, like, print. So it's gonna look really fucking good. But anyway, so, like, lad. Yeah. And then with, like, blue pills and red pills, like, there's, like, the whole big over all encompassing things, and then taking, like, the black pill on something, or taking a red pill, seeing it as it is, taking a black pill, it's like, all right, it's over and done with. It's like, you see the doom in that. And then a white pill is, you see the uplifting nature. So black pill, pessimism. White pill, optimism. And then there's the ultimate pill, which is the bread pill, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Did you say the bread pill?
Yeah, the bread pill.
Here's what I'm talking about with these pills, man. No one's on the same thing, because a lot of people.
You gotta take the bread pill, man.
What I'm saying is a lot of people that say bread pilled are referring to communism, and they're talking about the conquest of bread.
There's so many of these pills
that don't make sense, because everyone says there's something different.
When I say
bread pill, they're talking about what is his fucking name? Kropotkin. I have it. Like,
Kropotkin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what they're talking about. I have the book. I'm just saying that's, like, you're saying bread pilled means you're a Christian. They say bread pilled means you're a con. That's what I'm saying.
Context.
That all these pill things confuse the context hell out of me. Everyone uses them for different things, and it just makes it so like, you'll tell one person, "Oh, I'm red pilled," and to them, it's like, "Oh, so you're on the MAGA train with me? You love our daddy Trump?" And then another word, red pilled, as in you want the government abolished. Like, it's different to everyone.
When I say bread pilled, I'm talking about motherfucking bread, bro.
I got that dough. I got that cheddar, bro.
I got that yeast. I got that flour. And I got water.
John, I'm talking about the guap, bro.
You ever seen a toast sandwich? Apparently, that's a
slap.
I think it's British, right?
Yeah, it's British. It's
so common.
It's British. Britain. It's two slices of bread and then a piece of toast in between it. A toast sandwich.
Oh wait, what?
Yeah, that's a thing. It's got a Wikipedia page.
Speaking of British things, this lady came into my job today. And she wanted to know whether we had sandwich cake, and I was like, "What the fuck is a sandwich cake?" And apparently, it's just cake with buttercream. And I'm just like, "Yeah."
Oh, Victoria sponge.
What?
It's called like a Victoria sponge. You put like jam and like buttercream in the middle. It's actually nice. It's really like British.
Fuck up, Euro cunt.
What is this called?
It's called a fucking cake.
Victoria sponge, I think.
Victoria sponge or Victoria?
Is it like a spotted dick?
Sorry,
you've never seen a spotted dick?
No, I have not.
Really?
Sorry, bud.
I think it's British. I mean, I'm using DuckDuckGo. They don't filter out pictures, so. It's a traditional British pudding, traditionally made with suet and often served with custard.
Oh, that's fucking foul.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this Victoria sponge. That just looks like a cake version of a jelly sandwich.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man, I could really go for like a jelly donut right now.
Shut up.
I could go for some spotted cock. I mean, spotted dick.
That's a little sus right there. I'm just going to say.
All right, Joey.
I didn't even say anything, but all right.
All right, Joey.
No, because Joey said something gay. I mean, Johnny said something gay, so I said Joe.
We just blame Joey
for everything. Same thing.
I mean, everyone blames me for everything anyway.
All gay stuff is Joe.
Okay, so do you want to know what I mean by I took the black pill on anarchism?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
I don't think it could ever work.
Mm.
Because people are sheep. Even you and I are sheep. Like that, if you accept it, then you can actually move beyond sheep and whatnot. But like,
people want to ascend sheep.
Exactly. Like you have to accept what you are to move on beyond and whatnot. You know, admit to your own faults, and then you can move past them. Like if you don't see things as they actually are, you cannot get to the next step. That's not easy to do because you have to admit a lot of things are wrong. Like, to get to truth, you have to, like, if you really want to piss someone off, tell them the truth. Because if you, like, people, like, it's that Jack Nicholson line, you can't handle the truth. People have a hard time admitting that. Like, people have a hard time handling it and whatnot. That's kind of why, like, you know, it's like we live in this plane of, meaningful subjectivity, where we can get really close to the truth, but it won't be until the next life that we'll actually be able to see what, like, as the Greeks called, like, the moral truth, and whatnot actually is. It's when we reach, like, heaven, like, you know, God sits us down and is like, "All right, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did right. You know, come on, man, give me a hug. Let's go to heaven." So, yeah, but it's like people are sheep, man. And I was a psychology major when I was in college, and people want something to cling on to. People do not want chaos. They want order. They need something to gravitate around. the only way anarchism could really work is in, like, you know, like a commune type thing. Like, the
local.
Yeah. And it's like for that, for something like that to happen, like across, like an entire, like across pretty much an entire continent of like the land of the United States, it's just, it's not what's going to happen. And there's a bunch of natural resources and everything like that here. Like, there's enough of it to where other nations will see it as an opportunity, and like China and whatnot. Sorry, hold on.
You get it.
Well, good.
And China and whatnot will want to come in. They want the land. They want, like essentially, like, the labor, everything like that. You know, the oligarchs in power, like, the threat of, like, the... I guess it could sound conspiratorial, but I'm talking... Because I'm talking in very big terms and whatnot. But, like, it's just... People want something to cling on to. They want, like, a sense of order, a sense of security, whether it's false or is true and whatnot. You look at, like, the whole gun bans thing and whatnot. You can show a suburban mom, like, all the statistics in the world, but she still wants that security theater. Like, show them, like, all the realities, all the truths, everything like that. And she's still going to want to ban assault rifles. She wants that even that sort of false sense of security to cling on to.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
If you wanted to.
Okay. Finish. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So I guess I'm going on a little bit like a tangent.
It sounds.
Yeah. So the way I am, you know, the Michael Scott quote is like, sometimes I just start a sentence and I just don't know where it's going, and I hope I just find it along the way. That's sort of that's a lot of times. That's sort of me. Like my like mind works like too fast for my mouth.
Well, all I was.
Anyway, like the overall point, I'll just go back. It's like the overall point is people want something secure, something like tangible, something that they can actually see to cling on to. And people are not self-reliant enough, like really on their own to not like have that. Like, think of how back in the day in like an Anprim sort of scenario, like when we were still living in nature, everyone was fucking dying. Like, people have a really hard time looking at a world that did not exist with all the safeties and securities that we have today. That's a huge problem on the left. That is the entire flaw in feminism. Seriously, it's like they, like, not to go into that, but it's like people just want to think that the idea of a single mother could exist 100 years ago. Like, that's just not a thing. Yeah, like people are just as capable of good as they are evil. And you ever heard of the 90% rule? It's 5% of people will steal no matter what. Another 5% of people won't steal no matter what. 90% of the, and then the rest, the 90% of the people, they're just opportunists. Like, if they see something, a lot of times they'll take it. It's that whole, you find someone's wallet on the ground, you know, it has their ID in it, but it also has $100. It's like, do you take the $100? Or, like, do you take, like, even if it's, like, five 20s, do you take one of those 20s out and then give the dude his wallet back? Or do you give him his wallet back with all the money in it? A lot of times people will be like, yo, man, I'm just going to take that money, you know, and just give him back his wallet. I don't know, I'm the type of dude where it's like, I wouldn't fucking do that, but like, that's just me. And it's like, there's not enough people who are self-reliant to go around for a huge stateless society to exist.
The main question I
have, go ahead.
Is you're saying that everyone's sheep, which I agree with, and that people want that gun control works or not, which I also agree with.
You cut out for a second.
Great. All right. This connection is ridiculous. Am I back? Am I all set?
You're good.
Yeah, it was just like one word cut out and I didn't hear it.
All right, cool. Well, basically I was saying that like if all these people are going to just... I know that obviously they do want that security. They are sheep. I acknowledge all that. But isn't it possible that a decent amount of that is on purpose and comes from government through the Prussian school? Like, the whole point of the Prussian school model was to create a collectivist sheep, to create worker bees. It, like, people were formed like this on purpose. And I think if that system was gone, I don't necessarily know that everyone would still maintain that mentality. I think people could not necessarily be trained, but I think if they weren't trained to become bees, I don't know that they would inherently go towards that. I think that basically what I'm saying is I think that the
people desire for a
false sense of I think the false sense of security and the desire for it is more nurture than nature.
So, like, within when I was talking about the false sense of security, like, yeah. But, so the two, but see, I think what you're missing is, like, it's not a one-way thing. The two things, they both, like, feed into each other. And it's kind of like one of those, a society has gotten safer, people look for more problems to be had. And then with, like, the news media and whatnot, where, like, violence and everything like that, even globally, is on the way down. But because we have the 24-hour news coverage, and there, like, it's pretty much like infotainment and everything like that. Like, what's going to get clicks? Like something, like good that was done, or like some Somalian, some like Somalian village of Christians getting massacred by a bunch of the like a Somalian village getting massacred. What's going to get more clicks? And you know, the whole desensitization to violence, it's like, you know, all the boomers, they want to blame movies and video games and stuff like that, but really what it's shown is that our desensitization to violence is really comes from like how much violence we're seeing on the news, how much of the real violence is getting reported and whatnot. So, like, they feed into each other, of course. Like, no one's denying that. I mean, like, part of like getting the government smaller is getting people more reliant on themselves. But as far as taking it 100% away, not only do I like not think it's really possible as far as like the way people would be able to handle themselves, but more importantly, and where I really think it is that people will demand it. And if the people, and if like the everyone you're living around doesn't want to live in a stateless society, and you do, you're going to live in a stateless society. Because, like, I mean, like, even in a non-democratic system, like, democracy is, like, still there, at least, like, from the building blocks. You know, like, everyone's got to, like, a society has to agree on, like, a bunch of things that are the foundation. And, like, if the majority of people agree on one thing, then that's what's going to happen. And so my whole thing with it is, like, not only are, like, people are sheep, but it's, like, I might not have said this before, but people will demand it. And that's, I just view that as a reality. And I don't think you can get, like, those centrists, like, those, like, normies and whatnot, like they're going to demand it. They're going to choose not to be and whatnot. But it's like, I'm still all for, like, I still want small government and whatnot. Because, so one of my things, like, with this, I still, this was when I was more of a anarchist, or at least, like, entertaining anarchism a little bit more, is that the inevitability of government is to subvert God. And, like, what I mean by that is, what government wants to do is to have, what they want to do is place themselves above God. So that whole, like, morals and whatnot, morals come from government. Morals don't come from some sort of, like, whether it be God, some sort of, like, you know, other higher power, or just, you know, the secular, oh, we create our own morals and whatnot. It's all about the whole, like, morals and dictations, like, everything like that. Who decides what good and evil is? Government wants that to be them.
Yeah.
And it's about the integration of legal law and moral law. And when a traffic ticket becomes like, when a traffic ticket becomes immoral, when speeding becomes a sin, that's when you're reaching a totalitarian system. That's when you're reaching something that's not good and will result in a lot of death. So it's like you have to, it's a continual, the way I look at it is it's a continual process. It's a continual process because that's just the nature of government, is to want to grow. The nature of government is to want to get bigger. Even if you were to put a bunch of libertarians in charge, after a little bit, some of them will like that power. Some of them will want to get bigger. They will want to have, be able to invade into your personal space a lot more. That's just the nature of man. That's the flaw of man. Nature of government. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, I owe a few things. I always thought that it was more utopian to want small government than no exact that. Expecting government not to grow just seems like absurd to me. And then also some other quick, like the two.
So you're the other way around, where like I think it's more utopian to want no government than it is small government. And you think the other way?
Yeah, I don't see. Basically, I see minarchism as always ending exactly where we are right now, if not worse. I don't see any way around that. Whereas if you have no government to start with, I do. And then we're going back to, well, what quick three points I'm going to make real quick, and then I'll step down for a sec.
I do want to say, with the statement you made, I agree with that. That's why I say it's a never-ending process. Like, that takes time.
Yeah, but I mean, I think within that stateless society, people will demand a state. That's why the caveat that I say, like, whenever I get asked to press the red button, that whole questioning where people say, like, oh, you're, would you press the button to, if you could, like, abolish all government tomorrow? I always say no. I wouldn't press it, because if you abolish the government today, people make a new state by tomorrow. I think the only way to avoid that is to educate people and have a culture. Like, this is the one area I've never read Hoppe, so I don't call Hoppian, because I'm not familiar with his values. But the one thing I know that he's into is you need a libertarian society to have. Like, you need a libertarian culture to have a libertarian society. And I do agree with that to some extent, where if you just say, all right, tomorrow we're abolishing the government, people are going to make a new state within a week. I don't think if you abolish the entire government tomorrow that people could make this exact same state. Because you'd probably have a bunch of people saying, well, let's get together democratically and decide what we're going to do. And I think there are a bunch of bureaus and divisions and a bunch of all kinds of groups that no one would even think to add in to this, where I don't think people would make this exact same government we have today. But I do acknowledge that you need people to want freedom to have freedom. And I think that basically, I've heard two interesting arguments that kind of bring me to where I'm at. The one, if people are inherently good, you don't need a government. If people are inherently bad, you don't dare have one. And that basically means that if people are inherently good, they don't need to be governed. They can self-govern. And if they're inherently bad, they'll be the ones that get into the government because they're the ones that want the power the most. And then you'll have the most corrupt government imaginable. And then it's going to kill a bunch of people. So people are inherently good. You don't want a government. People are inherently bad. You still don't want a government because you don't want to give people that monopoly on violence. So that's the one thing that kind of brought me to where I'm at. The other interesting point is starting to fade from my head because there's been a lot of IPAs in it, which sucks that I can't remember it. Damn. Well, I promise that it was a pretty solid case for my side that I may eventually remember.
So I just remembered, and I went and pulled that up while you're talking.
Like, yeah, we'll take times remembering. So, we'll take turns remembering. So you go now.
Yeah. So like I pulled this up. So with my post, it was, hold on. Okay. So it was my post on July 25th, and this is where, I threw my hat into the ring with the whole, like, do the Boog Boys, does, like, libertarian right, like, the, like, lib right on the political compass, do we step in with all the protests and riots, and do we support it?
Because... Yeah, I agreed with your post, if it's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's the...
the guy on the left and the guy on the right, and the guy on the right has the mask.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. I created my own, like, Wojak avatar.
Yeah, like I'm with you on there. Got you.
So there was one thing, I left out on that, because I ended up, like, the night before... So this is one of those things where, like, you know, like, for me, like, I'm a, like, creative and whatnot. It's the, like, a lot of times, like, I'm laying in bed, or something, I'll just get that, like, spark and get that idea. And, like, so I'll go on my phone in the notes section, and I'll just start writing and whatnot. This is actually, like, to go back to why did I start the whole thing and, like, the original intentions, is I found myself back in, like, 2018, I guess, a little bit, like, 2017, because I wasn't really engaged in anything. Like, I was, like, still relatively, like, out of school, like, I just graduated, and, like, there was nothing, like, I wasn't engaging in really anything cognitively stimulating. So, and, like, I got a bunch of friends who are, or a couple friends who also like discussing, like, politics and whatnot. I found myself, this is also when I was going through some bipolar shit. I found myself just, like, essentially writing out these, like, essays, as nerdy as that sounds. But it's not like I was writing them out to necessarily impress someone, as it is, like, I was writing them out to get my thoughts, like, out into, like, a ordered structure and whatnot. Because, like, the way my brain is, like, I have a bunch of ideas just bouncing all around and whatnot. And then, like, a single time, like, they can all line up and, like, I can get everything out. If I don't get them out, like, onto, like, writing them out, or like, if it comes to, like, ideas like that, or just, or like a photo or video or anything like that, like, then it sort of, like, goes away. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's one of the things that also led to me creating the thing, is like having somewhere to like put all that stuff out. But so like I was laying in bed, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna write all this stuff down. And it's like, I've realized that those Wojak things, and really anytime you put something like that on the internet, it's all straw men. But it's the reason why I chose to have that, like, I don't know what you call it, like that template, like the Chad Wojak, the like, mm-hmm. Yes. Like, I didn't want to be like insulting, so I had like my edited one, Men of Me, and then the anarchist one with like the anarchy symbol on the neck, because it's like I wasn't approaching it in bad faith, even though like there were a couple people that freaked out on it. But anyway, one of the things that I left out, and this was right at like in the order that I wrote it, this was right after when I put the China thing in, is. So the straw man would be, oh, so you're a statist now. And then what I wrote coming from me is, unfortunately, I've seen enough evidence recently, along with my prior study in psychology, to take the black pill. A stateless society is not possible. People are sheep. They will always demand the need for some form of stable societal structure outside of themselves. Government is inevitable. But I will always advocate for a minimal and the smallest form of government as possible. I also concede it is the nature of government to grow, which means it is a continuous fight to keep government small and one worth being fought. I am still anti-state as I understand its nature, but I am no longer pro-anarchism. It is not wise to constrain one's ideas to an ideology, a false dichotomy, nor an adherence to online conformity. So that was the thing I left out. Yeah, but that kind of sums up, like, I guess, most of my thoughts on that and, like, why I took the black pill on anarchism.
See, the way I always thought of it was, like, with, like, Vladimir Lenin's view on communism, like, the goal of socialism is communism. I always thought of it as the goal of libertarianism is anarchism. But, like, you do make a good point there about, like, the libertarian culture. Like, would that, like, widely affect the entire, like, for example, the United States.
Hold on, say that again. Sorry, did you cut out?
Oh, sorry. No, but I always thought, like, sorry, I forgot. But I always thought, like, with Lenin's, like, view on, like, socialism being the, like, ending up as communism, I always thought, like, libertarianism would be used to later achieve anarchism. So that, like, what you said with, like,
I mean, I can understand that, but it's easier to grow, it's easier to add than it is to subtract. And, like, this is just me, like, I guess, just thinking, like, I'm being pragmatic and whatnot, is, like, and you have to look at all the hurdles you've got to go through. I'm not talking about, like, within government of, like, tearing things down and whatnot. I'm talking about, like, with winning over the hearts and minds of people. Like, it's, you know, Parks and Recreation, where, like, that episode where that little girl doing this school tour gets lost, and Ron Swanson, like, teaches her how terrible government is for, like, her essay that was, Why Does Government Matter? And she wrote, like, and then the mom comes back in angrily, like, are you Ron Swanson? It's like, what did you tell them? To my daughter, it's like, and why does she wrote this on her essay, Why Governments Matter? It's just, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the mom freaks out. It's like, she's in second grade. She's supposed to write little, like, cute things, like flags, stuff like that. And that's essentially the battle is against the fucking white suburban mom, especially, like, the single housewife mom. To be perfectly honest,
yeah, there's only one way to, you know, battle it. We just have to get rid of white women.
No, I don't recommend that.
True. White Girl Wednesday will be abolished.
No, we need Wednesday. No, we need to get rid of, like, we need to get rid of single motherhood, the destabilization of the family structure. We need to, like, I think one
abolish
of the
Great Society.
Well, so So, like Nick Fuentes made this point, and like I thought about it for like a while, and I really like agreed with it. That like the where like we've gotten it wrong is that we've been placing too much value on the individual, and what I mean by that is that we've been placing the family unit. Father, mother, and children, we've been placing that below the individual. And we've gotten to the point where, like, I mean, you look at the Black community, and the Black community is pretty much like, well, one is like the fathers, like, taken out of the homes and whatnot. And then, like, now it's like they're pretty much forced to celebrate single motherhood all the time. If you were to ever, like, come out, like, I mean, this is me talking about this with, like, my Black, like, friends and whatnot. It's, like, this is what they're telling me. Like, if you were to come out against single motherhood, it's, like, you get scolded in that whole, like, you know, like, what, you ain't Black, and then you get called sexist and everything like that. But it's, like, we have to start placing the family above the individual and whatnot. So with policy, everything like that. Because the family unit is the backbone of all societies. It doesn't matter what, like, form or whatnot. Every, like, great civilization, until it strays away from this, the family is the core center of everything. I mean that's even, like, in the Bible and from God and whatnot. What was that?
Everything in the end, just we have to teach our kids better.
Yeah, like,
and also with the next generation.
What was that? Sorry, there was some static.
Oh, it all starts with the next generation and, like, what we teach them.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the hard thing. It's like, that's our thing. It's like, is our, like, especially, like, with all this COVID stuff and everything that they're doing with schools, what's going to happen to Generation Alpha? Like, I shared this one. Like, it was an article, I think it was from the Daily Mail, going over, like, some of the things that some schools are taking precautions of. And what I said, like, the stuff that they're doing with social distancing and everything like that. And what I said with it to the group chats I sent it to is how to raise an entire generation to kill themselves.
You're not wrong.
I'm serious. Like, they're, like, all the issues and whatnot that are going to come from this, Gen Alpha is fucked. Like, Gen Z, like, I know, like, I think most of you guys, I'm a millennial, like, for, like, I'll be 28 at the end of the month.
Happy early birthday from thanks. The crossroads of liberty.
Thank you. We know, like, where millennials at, you know, Gen Z is just living in that, like, I like just basking in irony because of the nihilistic society that's been given to you. The Gen Alpha is just,
you know, it's fucking public school's fault, bro.
I'll tell you, I'm lucky I went to private school. Like, I went to
that's what I was
private school gang
arguing before is that I do think that the Prussian school model, which is still used in private school, quite as bad. It's not quite as based on state as, like, indoctrination, government, God, which you get in public school. But I do think that the Prussian school model is responsible for creating the reliant society of sheep that we have. I do think that if that was gone, I don't think our society would be as sheepish as it is. I think it's engineered on.
It's totally engineered. That's where, I mean, that's like, you don't even have to, like, that, like, right there just takes you into, like, some sort of, like, some sort of level where a normie is going to call you as a conspiracy theorist. Like, essentially being like, yeah, the people in power want to consolidate power and they want to control your lives. It's like, oh no, that's not what they're doing and whatnot. When it's time and time again, these people are aware of what they're doing. Like, no one who's fucking stupid, like doesn't know the, like, doesn't know like any like they sorry let me restate this anyone who's smart knows what they're doing, and they know the things that they know where their actions lead to. They know what their actions affect. They know what they're doing, and they know how to get their way. And you have to be very, very nefarious and very, very dark with the things that they're doing. Like, to get you to depend on, like, them to suckle at the teat of the state. Stuff like that. They have to, that's why they destroyed the family. Like, and it's like, if someone wants to be like, that just naturally happened, they're fucking wrong.
Yeah, so that's one of my main arguments that I do think that a stateless society could exist. I think that the reason it can't now isn't inherent to human nature. I think it's I do admit that right now it can't happen. It won't work. Like I said, if we wipe out the government today, there's going to be a new one by tomorrow. I don't think it would be as bad as the current one, but there would be a new government
by tomorrow. Oh, no, it would. It would. Are you talking about like societal collapse and what would rise from the ashes?
No, I'm saying
I'm
saying if we just abolish the government today, everyone would get together and would be like, all right, we got to put the government back. They were like, okay, I was in the Department of Wildlife, so okay, well now you're going to be in the DMV. Like, I don't know if everything was wiped out. Like, I don't mean if there was a violent collapse. I mean if everything just disappeared and then tomorrow they were like, well, we got to go back to work, so let's put this back together. I don't know if people could put everything back where it was, because there's so much excessive shit. I think some would be carved out. Like, I don't know that, like, there's some, if you look into all the bureaus that we have and agencies, there's some really weird, obscure ones that don't make any sense, that most people don't even know exist. I don't know that those ones would get put. I know it would be problematic, for sure. Whether it's the majority of Americans rebuilding the government, or whether it's Fallout 4. Either way, I know it's going to be messy. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty. I'm just saying
Fallout 4 would be like the entire world is nuked and it's the people who survive. Like
pretty metal.
Yeah. But as far as, so you want to segue this into the Boog?
Yeah, I think that should be our last topic because we're a little over an hour, but yeah, we can cover that real quick.
Okay, so this is one thing. So this is one thing with like the Boog. It's like I look at it as like, you want a soft Boogaloo or do you want a hard Boogaloo? And a soft Boogaloo is like minimal to no deaths and like actually restructuring the government. It's like taking back the power to the people, and whatnot, and all that sort of stuff. Like, in the whole thing is like minimal deaths and whatnot. A hard Boog would be total societal collapse. And like whether or not like you want that, like, or whether or not like that happens or whatnot, like, you're dumb if you actually want that. Like, and I'm talking like you're arrogant if you think that would be cool, if that would be fun, and that you would survive. Like, a lot of those people, like, haven't seen war, they haven't seen death, they haven't seen anything like that. But, like, with the whole thing with, like, the Boogaloo Boys, it's like, there's the ones who, like, idolize that, and then there's the ones that see that as, like, this is a serious possibility. Like, this is something that could happen, and it's not a good thing. But it's better be prepared if it does than if, like, it's better to be prepared and it doesn't happen than not be prepared and it does happen. But like the whole idea with like the Boog is like, you know, it really goes into, and this is something like I've thought about for a long time, is the Boog an idea or is it a movement? And I made a poll on my story. I don't think I saved it onto my save story, but I made a poll and it was agree or disagree, the Boog is an idea, not a movement. And there were some people who very passionately agreed that it is an idea, and then there were others that really just like one person who, like, him and I had like a he came at me a little bit, and then we had like a good conversation about it, that he was saying it's a movement, because like he's actually like, he was saying like he's been out there and whatnot, like he's gotten like this is he got into a fight with Antifa, stuff like that, and like I don't think he knew that I'd actually like gone to the riots and whatnot and actually like live streamed them, and I've actually like done other like shit like that. Like I mean not much, but I mean it's something. It's more than like when I made that post of like calling out all like throwing my hand to the ring, like I sort of kind of did that hypocritically because I made that post telling people it's dumb to go out, but then not even 30 minutes later, I was getting ready to go to, I was getting ready, like throwing clothes on it, like getting all my gear equipped to go to a riot to live stream it all. However, I didn't go out there. Like I made a post about, I don't go to those in solidarity. It's more for like journalistic reporting. Yeah, documentation. Like the first, so in my city, the first night of riots, this was back in May. Really, there's only been 4 like actual legit riots. One of them just happened this past Tuesday, but I didn't go. It was really small. It didn't even last 2 hours. But it was like I was able to stop looters, and actually like, you know, help people and whatnot, make sure people got hurt, don't get hurt.
make sure people got hurt.
Yeah, I'm just fucking people up, man.
I'll make sure you get hurt.
Oh, fuck it, nah. No, it's stuff like that, you know, because one sane mind in a crowd is better than none. And like take it to a spiritual level, it's like one servant of Christ in a crowd full of non-believers is better than none as well. And like I'll tell you what, that second night, the huge riot back in May, like you could feel like the spiritual presence, like the presence of like that night, like throughout the nation. Like there was a lot of dark stuff going on.
Yeah, I also agree. I had to mute myself at the time. I was a little busy, but I definitely agree with what you're saying about a lot of the people that claim that they're hungry.
They're not going out.
They're hungry for violence, and I do believe most of those people don't really know what we're asking for. And we I don't think they've been on the podcast, but even we have a few people in some of our circles that are like, oh yeah, I'm here for the violence, and I don't think that they really
the real people
they
who
really
are
know
all
what they'd
there.
Be getting into. Like I'm with you on I do understand that it could happen, but I think it's the worst case scenario. I'm still preparing for it, but I don't want that to happen. Like I always tell people whenever they're like, oh, so like what's the boogaloo to you? I'm like, my thing is I want politicians and bankers and corporations to just leave us alone. I want them to just go away. But it doesn't seem like they're gonna do that. So we gotta think of what else could happen.
Is the Boog civil war or revolution?
It depends on the day.
Exactly.
I mean, the Boog, I was going to talk about like violence and shit, but like the Boog has transformed from like a year ago. No, it's been longer than a year, but I've been in this movement for like a year, like roughly, like give or take like a month or two. And it always transitions. It's not one solid thing. I mean, at first, of course, it was just a, you know, Civil War II electric boogaloo and shit. And it constantly fluctuates. It's never going to be a set thing because people take an idea, they mold it to their own needs, then they turn it into their own movement, and then some people also have that movement, but it's a completely different thing. I mean, we've had people from, like, we've had neo-Nazis try to take the movement and be like, oh, yeah, the boogaloo is for white purity and shit like that, when in reality it started, you know, with libertarians and whatnot. The Boog, it's just such a wide fucking thing. It's funny, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you, like, to be straight up, I think a lot of people won't like that I say this, but I'm just being realistic. The Boog is first and foremost a meme.
Yeah.
No, it is.
You have to say that to keep yourself checked in reality. Otherwise, you go off into fantasy world. It's kind of like one thing I've said this for a while is you're LARPing until you're not. And that's a I say that because that's an ego check. Like, if you think that you doing all your training, buying all the gear, having the Gucci AR or Gucci AK, whatever, like if you think that you're gonna some like Navy SEAL or anything like that, you're gonna go out and get clapped. Like, keep yourself in check. Like, understand that, like,
we're all fucking humans.
Like, for the time being, you know, like, just joke about it. Like, it's like you're LARPing. Like, I'm LARPing, you're LARPing, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a meme to get more people. Like, it's a meme to get more people for cause, basically. It's not like a meme where, oh, everything's fun and laughter, but it's still funny sometimes. I mean, those Boogaloo Doge memes.
Yeah.
He's not making those shit, but that shit slapped, bro. Those memes were funny as hell.
Yeah.
Heads up, my phone, my recording device is on 2%. So if I drop out, I apologize. But
it's all good.
We are well over an hour, so we probably should wrap up. We're at about an hour and 20 minutes.
So, one thing I do want to say is, like, because, like, I follow more, like, when I say follow, it was more like tracking, but a lot more of, like, actual, like, not ironic Nazis and people like that. Like, they actually want the Boog to be a complete bloodbath because they want their fascistic empire to rise up from the ashes. And I think a lot of libertarians and whatnot, a lot of the Boog boys are, like, I don't think this is a problem as much, like, anymore because of what's been happening with Black Lives Matter and whatnot and, like, Antifa. But a lot of, because, like, I know, like, a lot of those accounts, like, pose as libertarians and whatnot, but really they're Nazis. They're NatSox. For some reason, like, NatSox like to open up to me in DMs. I don't know why. That's just a fucking thing.
You're a father figure.
Not like, no, they just go straight into, like, like, hey, this is no, Nazi? Like, I had NatSox one dude because, like, I agreed with, like, so I was in this one chat. It's like, I, like, he said something, I knew what he was talking about, and, like, the topic wasn't, like, NatSox, but it's like I agreed with him because, like it's a legitimate point. And then he goes into my DMs and is like, dude, in these group chats, it's so easy to change them. All these people, all they need is a little push. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, you don't know. He's pretty much like, I don't know. I'm just like, what are you talking about? And it's like, what are you, like, making them what? And he's like, NatSox. I was like, oh, this is what these guys do. They infiltrate libertarian stuff and they turn them. Like, oddly enough, like, there is a certain sect of libertarianism that is a gateway to fascism. Like, that's just something I've observed because I think it's people getting too tired of others not understanding their values and everything like that, and things going to shit. So they're just like, "Fuck it, I'm going to become the boot, and we're going to force everyone to do it."
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
So if those
obviously I wouldn't actually go that direction, but I do understand where they're coming from. I mean, like, you have every single day that you look anywhere, you see that, like, it's just every single group is gunning for you. And after a while, I mean, yeah, I could understand how you could just get tired of it and be like, all right, you're going to say that I'm evil because I'm white or I'm a guy or because I'm straight. And all you're going to do is tell me how I'm an evil monster all day, even though I haven't hurt anyone. Well, then fuck you. I am going to hurt someone. Like, I get where they come at it from, but it's not the right way to go to anyone listening that's considering it.
Yeah, and those are people. It's like, I have Matthew 8:36 in my bio for a reason. Those are people who are forfeiting their souls in order to gain the world. They're caving into their temptations and not keeping their character. They're not even keeping to God's word. I mean, I think I said this before, not during the podcast, but I mean, like, thinking the Nazis were Christian is a Jewish lie. I'm not, and, like, you know, it's like, oh my god, anti-Semitic, but I mean, that's true. like a lot of the, in the U.S., a lot of the secular Jews and their more like reformed synagogues and whatnot, they preach about how moronic Christians are, and also how like the Nazis were the Nazis were Christian, and therefore Christianity needs to be eradicated in order to prevent another Holocaust. Like, that's, I mean, that's just a thing, like, and that's coming from Jews, like, who I know, like, and whatnot, like, their accounts, and also, like, other shit. Like, I'm not saying that out of my ass.
Wolfenstein, or at least the Xbox 3, the first Xbox 360 Wolfenstein, not the modern reboot, like, it was one of the castle ones, the OG Wolfenstein from, like, 2008 or some shit, they had the Nazis as a...
Yeah.
As wow, a,
you sorry, actually cut remember out that. You actually yeah. remember that one, James.
Occultists.
No, yeah. they were. They totally yeah, they were. Yeah. So the dude, I can't remember the dude's name, but he's the dude who founded the Temple of Set. He was an army general. The dude, like, even the dude's, like, eyebrows were, like, satanic. But he did this one interview where his, like, he was showing off, like, his prized possessions. And one of his prized possessions was Heinrich Himmler's dagger.
Oh, now, I think I saw that.
Now, if Heinrich, like, what spiritual significance would Heinrich Himmler's dagger have if he was, like, an atheist, even if he was a Christian? What spiritual significance would there be? There wouldn't. Like, that dagger was used for something. And I don't know. We could go and do this on a different podcast where
I was going to say this should be a second episode.
Yeah, we can do a second. Go into like spirituality and like the occult and everything like that, and how much like human sacrifice is worked into that. Like one of the reasons for Christ's sacrifice is so we do not have to sacrifice our flesh because He did it for us. So what's the other way to like the false way, the false promise of opening up the gateway and whatnot? That would be to sacrifice your own flesh or to sacrifice the flesh of an innocent. Because it's like, you know, Christ is the Lamb of God. The Lamb is innocent. Christ was innocent even though he was found guilty for nothing and persecuted upon the cross. By so the it's state. Because... no, by the Jews. The state carried it out.
Like, so I still blame the state.
No, it's not. The state carried... No, because when Pontius Pilate... Yeah, don't. I mean, straight up. I mean, that's heresy. like, I mean, to be straight up, like when Pontius Pilate, like asked the Jews, free Jesus or Barabbas, and they said Barabbas. Like, what that was? It was Pontius Pilate making the decision outside of the Roman Empire, outside of the state. The Jews, the ones in the rabbinic power and whatnot, they. Like made the decision to reject, to reject Christ and whatnot, and then it was the state, the Romans, who carried out the execution.
Yeah, but you have to remember. You have to remember at the same time, it was part of one of Jesus's prophecies that you know people would hate him, and I mean,
yeah,
people would hate him basically, and I mean,
was it like Christ? Logos is what I was saying. It's like if you want someone to hate you, tell them the truth.
There's that meme, they hated Jesus because they told him the truth, or whatever it is. It's like some shitty, like, kid's Bible that's turned into a meme. Anyway, I mean, that's not the best place to end off on an episode, a shitty kid's Bible. But, you know, this is a good spot as any. I mean, anyone have any final?
Yeah, like, I think this was a pretty solid episode.
Yeah, anyway, we'll go into occultism and everything next episode.
Like, sure. Yeah. Hell yeah.